We've been going through the book of Colossians, and let's kind of do a quick review over what we've gotten to so far, because we really haven't gotten that far in the book of Colossians. We're still in chapter 1. In fact, today we're going to get finally to verse 14. And so we know that the whole message of the book of Colossians is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Come on, don't make these banners that I purchased be for nothing, right? That's our message throughout the whole book of Colossians. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? So, Paul has endeavored up to this point in the book of Colossians to make connections between himself and Timothy, along with the elder of this church in Colossae, a man named Epaphras, and the people that Epaphras serves as the elder of that church. Paul has never set foot in the city of Colossae, neither has Timothy. Timothy has lived close by. He grew up in Ephesus and Miletus, that were just really close. It's within 100 miles of Colossae. And Timothy ends up being the spiritual father over the churches in the area. And he's been raised up by Paul for this very purpose. And so Timothy ends up residing in Ephesus for much of his career in ministry. He's established the faith of the people in the church of Colossae, and not only their faith, but his faith. Again, it's all about making connections with these people, because otherwise he was just a stranger to them and they were a stranger to him. And so instead he tries to bring up the things that they have alike. And isn't that the way that you make friends with people? Do you point out all the differences that you have? Well, if you want division, yeah, you do. You know, well, I'm tall, slender, and handsome. You are short, squatty, and ugly. That would not be a friendship development tactic that I would use, nor any person that wants to be successful in making friends. Amen? So, Paul is trying to establish connections. He talks about their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their love for Christ and for each other as the common bridge for these solid relationships that they have. He recounts the testimony of Epaphras and their devotion in prayer to the strength and the health of that church that was established there. Again, this was a very influential church in the development of the ministry, of the message to the rest of the world in Asia, to the places east. Today, we're going to cover Paul's continued prayer, encouraging them and us to know God's power and what it can do. Now, I know for a lot of us, it's been a while since we've been in school. For our kids in here, it's summer vacation. But how did teachers find out whether or not you knew the information that they were trying to give you? They gave you tests, right? They taught you this information. In fact, I was learning from my friend Sarah about the fact that her kindergarten kids had to take this test, and so she had to teach them towards the taking of that test, so that they could perform well in it. Well, that's the role of a teacher, is to facilitate learning so that the kids can be successful in life. Amen? Because we will all have tests. However, we can understand this. Jesus rescues us from all our tests. Amen? The title of today's message is Rescued. Rescued. Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 to 14, if you'll take out your bulletins and read this along with me, I'd really appreciate it. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Now, there are three words in this passage that Paul uses in the Greek that we're going to explore today and hopefully get a deeper meaning of it. So why? So that when the tests of life come, we will have that knowledge with us. Amen? Okay. So, back in 2010, there was a tremendous tragedy that happened down in Chile, the country of Chile. There was a mining operation going on down there, and miners were all of a sudden trapped. Now, underground, almost 2 miles, 33 men were trapped in darkness. And they stayed that way for almost 70 days. Now, think of how well you would have to get along with your neighbor. But then also think of the organizational things that had to take place. They all had helmets with lights on, but not knowing how long that they were going to have to be there, and the people up on the surface of the earth not knowing if you were alive, and how long would it take for them to drill down to this hole, this grave of darkness that you were in. They had some food with them. They had some supplies. But to make those things last took organization, took a calm and peaceful spirit. Here's how the rescue came about after 70 days and 70 days, 33 men in this hole. I suspect that the reason why they're dousing them with champagne is because after being down in a hole for 70 days, they were probably pretty ripe. But did you happen to notice the joy that was being expressed? We pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. The first word that Paul uses in this passage that I want us to look at closely is endurance. Endurance is your first blank to fill in. The Greek word for endurance that Paul used was macrothumia. And if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it's Strong's number 3114 in the Greek. The meaning of macrothumia and endurance is the ability to withstand under complicated circumstances, especially in a world hostile to Christ. To have a spirit which never loses patience with, belief in, and hope for mankind. Now, can you imagine this scene in Chile? The people on the surface are having this hope that they will find these miners alive. The families on the surface hoping that they would reach their loved ones prior to them being just a body rescue. that they might still be found alive. And please understand that it took 4 minutes for that cage to be lowered, and then also 4 minutes for it to be raised back up. They pierced the darkness of the miners, the hole where they were laid up, with a drill bit that was only about 6 inches round. And on that drill bit, when it came through, they took a rock and they started hammering on it to let the people on the surface know that they had found them. And then they did another miraculous thing. They tied a note in a baggie and put it around the drill bit, and because they knew if that note just went up on paper that it would get shredded by the mud that they had to go through to reach them. And so they protected, and they also, I don't know where they got this, but they took some red paint and they painted the drill bit to let them know there was life down below. Can you imagine taking that ride for 4 minutes? Not being able to move, you're just going up in the capsulate, you know, kind of like David's picture that he posted on Facebook. You know, your arms crossed, you're in the sling, got your helmet on, and you're just going up, listening to the scraping as you're going up from the steel tube that they had put down to make sure that nothing fell in. And then hearing the sounds as you're getting closer and closer to the surface, hearing the grinding of the machine, and then finally reaching surface and hearing the joys and the praises and the clap. It took them, as the reporter said, 22 hours to get all 33 of the miners out of that cave. Can you imagine? Being the first one up would be great, right? And how do you choose which one gets to be the first one? So the rest of them had to have this patient endurance, knowing that their turn was going to come. Can you imagine being the last one? With nobody else to be down there to encourage you, and all the other 32 miners being out of there, what thoughts might be going through your mind? Endurance, the ability to withstand under complicated circumstances, especially in a world hostile to Christ. To have a spirit which never loses patience with, belief in, and hope for mankind. If I was that last person down in that shaft, I would be having patience and belief and hope in those guys on the surface. Amen? Get me out of here. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 to 12 is also another couple of scriptures that I'd like us to understand and read. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for Him and how you have shown your love to Him by caring for other believers as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. You see, God is not unjust in what you're doing. He has seen Patty Minkler serve in the nursery for 15 years. She's seen how hard she has worked for Him. And Patty says, really, that was work? I was just loving on kids, man. That was just something that God gifted me to do. Has God gifted you to love children? If so, we have an opportunity for you. Because as you have heard, Patty has stepped down. So we need someone to step up. And I wish we could have time to let Patty give testimony as to how she has affected the lives of children in our nursery for 15 years. And what a blessing that that is to her. God's not unjust. He'll not forget how hard you worked for him. Amen? So, a new season of America Ninja Warrior is about to begin. They've been advertising it on TV lately, right? Anybody watch that besides me and my wife, who I force to watch it with me? American Ninja Warrior. I mean, these guys, every contestant has strength, they've got agility, and they've got ability. But the quality needed to win is endurance. The same is true of all believers, young and old alike. We need to possess endurance. Again, look at the definition of endurance. It's the ability to withstand under complicated circumstances, especially in a world hostile to Christ. To have a spirit which never loses patience with, belief in, and hope for mankind. Would you say that you possess endurance? The next word that Paul uses in this Colossians passage is a word that's very close to macrothumia. It's hupomnomni. Yeah. Try to say that three times really fast. I've been stumbling over it all week long going, how do I pronounce that? It's hoop, like H-O-O-P, kind of like the NBA finals that's going on right now. Hoop, O-M, on, O-N-E. It almost sounds like a Native American word when you put it all together. And I'm not sure that I have done it much service, but I've tried. I've tried to bring it here to you, teach you some Greek this morning. Patience is a second filling, patience. Patience is the quality of Christian service to bear with the weaknesses of others. In what? To bear with the weaknesses of others in love. Wow. Does that love well up from within us? Absolutely not. It cannot. We will fail at dealing with the weaknesses of others. Why? Because we are always quick to want to judge and get frustrated with people. Amen? Oh, come on. Are there not any honest people in this church? Come on. Right? It's real easy to get kind of fed up and impatient with people, right? Amen. But patience that Paul is praying for this church is the quality of Christian service to bear with the weaknesses of others in love. Because as you look around this room, folks, there ain't nobody perfect. There ain't nobody that's got all the wisdom. There's nobody that's going to perform perfectly at all times. However, just because that's being said does not mean that we don't give it our best effort at all times. Right? And we give up to God the results. If we sit around judging the results of what it is that we do for God, then we're taking all the ability away from God to bless us. And we're shortcutting. We're almost like cutting our own necks. Saying, well, I'm just never, nothing I've done is ever good enough for God. Well, if you've never done anything, that could be true. But if you have tried to do something for God, guess what? God's going to see it through His eyes. He's not going to borrow your eyes to look at it. Because we are so stinking critical of ourselves. Amen? I mean, I look at myself all the time and just go, and when I do this, oh, trust me, Satan is right on board. He loves me to go down this road of criticizing myself. He loves it. Oh, yeah, while you're down here, let me give you another kick. Yeah, you're right. You're not good enough. You haven't been trained. You don't have this gift. You don't have that. You know, and Satan will jump right in there and stomp all over you if you open up that door. Don't open up the door. Don't open it up. Instead, do your best unto God, and then you can rest knowing that you've done your best. Patience. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 says what? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to be forcing our brother to bear with us in love. Instead, we should try to be doing everything that we can to make life easier. I mean, honestly, if you were in a relationship and it was nothing but contention, contention, contention all the time, how long do you think you could endure? After a while, you just get all sour about that relationship, right? And you'd start finding reasons to say, you know what? Wow, maybe this relationship really isn't all that it's supposed to be. Maybe I should just walk away from it. Instead, wouldn't the relationship be so much better if you were there to build one another up in love? And that doesn't just go for marriage relationships. It goes for your relationship with your brother, with your sister, with those that are around you. This is your church family. You bear with one another in love. A.B. Simpson said, "Beloved, have you ever thought that someday you will not have anything to try you or anyone to vex you again? There will be no opportunity in heaven to learn or to show the spirit of patience, forbearance, and long-suffering. If you are to practice these things, it must be now. Yes, each day affords countless opportunities to learn patience. Let's not waste them." What an optimistic man. Amen? But we have to understand that the purposes of God often develop slowly because His grand designs are never hurried. The great New England preacher, Philip Brooks, was noted for his poise and quiet manner. At times, however, even he suffered moments of frustration and irritability, and one day a friend saw him feverishly pacing the floor like a caged lion. And his friend said, "What's the trouble, Mr. Brooks?" And Mr. Brooks answered, "The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." Haven't we felt the same way many times? Boy, we want God to work. We want God to do this. But have we just sat in His presence, in the peace of who He is, and said, "You know what, God? You're developing a grand plan for my life. Let's saute that some more. Let's let time take care of it. And let me just rest that you know what's going on." Just like the miners trapped underground, they knew, they had a belief that those people up on the surface had not forgotten them. God has not forgotten you either. And though He knows that you might be trapped in a world of darkness, in a world that doesn't have the plenty that we get to see each and every day, God has a plan. And it's a plan to rescue you out of that darkness, out of that cage, to bring you to the surface of light. His presence in your life. Will you let His plan take its time? I mean, riding up in that cage, as much as you wanted to get it up there faster, all your desiring to have that happen was not going to make it move any faster. You are just going to have to take your time and let God be in charge of the ride. Amen? Kenny, you need to hear this. Because this is very pertinent to your life right now. You're in that season, and you too, Kim and Carly. You're in that season of having to wait on what God's timing is. Our brother Ken goes to court tomorrow at 9:30. He may be going to prison for 5 years. That's what the prosecutor would like. And we don't know what God's plan and design is for all of this. All we know is there have been several of us who have written letters of recommendation for Ken because we've seen how he has repented of his past ways. And our desire as a church would be to keep him here hitting those drums. Amen? Even though some of you might be irritated with the drums. Give it up. I honestly don't want to lose that gift. But I also don't want to lose the blessing that God might have for him, no matter where he goes. And we're going to support you, brother, in our prayers. And Kim and Carly. You're a part of this church family. We care about you. We'll always be here for you. Amen? Endurance. Patience. These are things that Paul prayed that the church of Colossae would also have because they were in a very hostile environment that didn't believe in Christ. And they had the message that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. And they were being infected by other beliefs, by other struggles and other stresses of the world around them. Just as we are today, the world of Christianity is being bombarded by all sorts of wrong thinking. But Jesus is still the answer today. Amen? The last word that Paul asked for this church was joy. Joy. The word is chara. Strong's number 5479, and the definition that they show in Strong's is the occasion or cause of great gladness. When all of those miners, number one, first were found. I mean, there was so much gloom going on the surface of the earth with these people in such great despair. Were those miners going to be lost forever? Was it just a grave down there that they were going to find? Or were people really alive? And their hope after, I mean, think about the endurance of the people on the surface of the earth. For 69 days, they continued to keep drilling and looking for survivors. And on the 69th day, they finally get their answer. 69 days is how many months? Over 2 months, right? For 2 months, the people on the surface of the earth have been drilling and looking for, and but also preparing for if they did find people. How were they going to transport them? They were getting all of that ready, and they had this hope. They had this endurance. And when that hope and that endurance found people alive, there was massive joy. And the reporters talked about the fact that the whole spirit of the camp, because the family members were camped out there, they were waiting for any kind of news that their relatives, their loved ones were still alive. And when that news came that they found people alive, the place erupted in celebration. Much like heaven will be when you get past the door. Amen? He just barely made it, but he's in. Woohoo! Right? It's the occasion or the cause of great gladness. I was looking for a scripture that would encase joy. And I came across Luke chapter 2, verse 10. The angel of the Lord is speaking. And he says what? I announce to you good news of great joy for who? All people. He was announcing the birth. This angel, this messenger from God was announcing the birth of the Son of God, whose name is Jesus. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. And he's transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. Loving Heavenly Father, I want to mimic this prayer of Paul's, that Mountain Valley Church will be strengthened with all of your power, your glorious power, so that we as a church will have the endurance and patience that we need with the world around us. And may we be filled with joy and always giving thanks to you, Father, for you have enabled us to share in the inheritance that belongs to your people who live in the light. May we choose to live in the light and not in the darkness of this world. By the power of Jesus' name, we pray, and everybody that agreed said, amen.